This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jay Horowitz did a very special edition of Amazing Conversations with Kim Harrelson. Kim Battaglia Harrelson.
One of those. One of those is right.
March 28th, Mets open the season with the Brewers at Citi Field. Special day for the Harrelson family. Six of your grandkids who throw out the first pitch, and the Mets are going to wear a patch to honor your late husband, number three, on the sleeve. How emotional of a day is that going to be for you?
You know, it's hard to tell ahead of time, but I can tell you how I felt when you let me know that we would be throwing out the first pitch and that the team would be wearing a patch. Right. And I can feel the emotion now. I think it is such an honor and a privilege to do that. Of course, we wish Bud was still here. You know, we're missing him so much. But the fact that his popularity and what he meant to the Mets and baseball in New York is being recognized in such a big way by, you know, the honor of throwing out the pitch and the team wearing the patch for the season is, you know, is very emotional for all of us.
Kim, we're sitting here in the Tom Seaver room. Tom, buddy, I love Tom, but we're very close. What does it mean? You look around and you see Tom's pictures all over the wall here.
It's amazing. And when I pulled up in the car, arrived at the ballpark, it was Tom Seaver Way. Yeah. I took a picture so I could send it to the kids. It's so meaningful. Bud, and you know, Bud loved Tom. And
they were roommates?
They were roommates.
Why do you think they hit it off so well?
Well, they were both from California. Right. And I don't know. Tom was, you know, outgoing, and Bud was a little less, and maybe a little more shy, and I don't know. I don't know really. I wasn't around when they first met, but I certainly, you know, could see their close-knit relationship all along. You know, that was, I think, because they came up around the same time, they bonded early on.
Yeah. And they called each other roomie.
Yes.
You stayed in touch with Nancy and the girls too, I mean, through the years.
We visited Tom and Nancy at the Vineyard in California, and Tom was so, so proud of his vines. He carried his clippers in his back pocket and took us out with the dogs and showed us all around. And yes, they were, you know, as always, quintessential hosts and lovely.
Buddy passed away in January. What have you learned about Buddy since he passed away? Is there anything, something new came up that you didn't know before?
I think it started with Jerry Grody in our backyard when they visited us and had dinner before the 50th anniversary. And he was telling stories of how he and Bud would play catch, and they would play a game where if the ball landed in the targeted area, there were no points, but if it didn't, you know, when they were throwing to each other, they each got a point, and then the other one had to get the other one soda in the locker room or something. It was like a silly game to warm up before the game that they played, and it was something I didn't know about Bud. And then when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I actually had to keep a binder of the letters that we were getting of people's experiences with Bud that I also never knew about. The kindness and generosity that he showed other, you know, complete strangers and fans, whether it was at a book signing or just a happenstance meeting. And they were so touching. And those were things that, you know, he didn't come home and talk about. And after he died, the outpouring of love and condolences and memories that people have of Bud throughout the years just is really overwhelming, and it just confirms what we knew as a family, you know, because we experienced his generosity and kindness.
So it was in the summer of 2016 that Buddy went public in a couple of places and he had the disease. What was his main purpose in doing that, and why did he go public to let people know what was going on?
He said he wants to, he wanted people to know that he had Alzheimer's so that if they were also suffering with the disease, they wouldn't feel alone.
And he had a, he did something, Doc Stanton came in City Field, had a press conference. You knew before then, right, that something was going on?
We did. Bud was tested a few years earlier, and the tests showed negative for Alzheimer's and dementia, and we were, you know, we were so thrilled and relieved. But then his symptoms increased, and when we took him back to the doctor, it was then confirmed. It's, you know, you can't take a blood test, really.
Right.
So the symptoms really confirmed that he did, in fact, have Alzheimer's.
I mean, he really fought the good fight 8-9 years. How did he, it's got to be, for the family, if you, it's got to be an unbelievable, heartbreaking period. You know, I remember you told me you'd go visit him into homes, not very recognition, but he kept coming and coming and coming. How did he manage to get through it all?
You know, but he never complained. He would get frustrated. It was an adjustment when he first had to move out of his home and into a residence for Alzheimer's and dementia, and then once he was there, he just dealt with it as best he could. And people would ask, "Is he having a good day?" And it really wasn't a matter of a day; it was moment by moment. And he knew kindness. If you were kind with him and patient, he would smile and be happy in that moment. He could feel that. So even though he may not have known who you were, even, you know, strangers that
right.
were working with him, if you showed him kindness, he responded to that.
I remember a couple of times I went to see him, you know, Buddy used to make fun of my big head. And I remember I would say big-headed Jay, and he could tell there was a response sometimes. He did smile, exactly what you said, that, you know, he was smile came to his lips. A couple of stories you told me, Kim, about the ring. The 69, Buddy Howard's the only player in Mets history to have a ring from 69 to 86, the only one to play in four separate playoff series, 69, 73, 86, and 88. What did he do with the kids? He always let the kids put it on?
Oh, wherever he went, they wouldn't even ask. He would take his ring off and hand it to them, and you'd see them kind of recoil a little bit, like, really?
Yeah.
You're going to let me wear your ring? And that was a big thrill for him. He was so generous in that and wanted, you know, the look on people's faces, I think, is what he was going for. And after he was diagnosed, he continued to do it. And after a while, we had to replace the 69 ring with the Ducks ring because it was a little less valuable, not sentimentally, right. but a little less valuable. And you know, so we weren't sure if someone might, you know, inadvertently walk off
right.
with it. He would forget he gave it to someone. But yeah, that was a big thrill for him to share
that. He also told me, when he would go into the locker rooms or hospitals to visit a kid, he would bring gloves for the whole family, not just one for the sick youngster. He would just take care of the whole family.
Yeah, he would. He just had this way about him, Jay. He wasn't afraid of, you know, what to say or how to deal with people with, you know, illnesses or disabilities. He was very, very comfortable on all fronts with all human beings. He got along with everyone, but he was especially fond of and drawn to people with disabilities or people who were ill.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, Gary Cohn, one of SNY TV guys, and Howie Rose, Liz Buddy is one of their favorite players. I think Gary said he is his favorite player. And Howie calls him every man. He wasn't 6'4", 240, with 5'10", 170 maybe. What was the affection for that? Was it because he wasn't a big bulky guy and he gave his heart out? I mean, why do you think players and everybody loved him so much?
I'm not sure. You know, I was never a fan of baseball, but I was a fan of Bud, and it was his kindness that drew me to him. And I think for players and other people, it was probably his approachability.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't put up a wall. You could reach out and talk to him. He definitely had some loose boundaries, but he did have some boundaries, but he was also very kind and very open and very approachable for, I don't know, he was self-deprecating, he was funny, he was a regular guy.
Yeah.
He didn't consider himself a sports hero.
Ron Darling told me a couple times that he learned more about baseball from Buddy than any other player. I mean, Ronnie used to say he just loved to go to the field. He'd be there early and leave late when he was a coach. And what do you think it was about? He just loved the game, right? I mean,
absolutely. And when I saw that, when I read that quote from Ron, I was so impressed by that. And, you know, like I said, Bud was very humble. So he didn't spiel off numbers. And, you know, he had a great memory for games that he played in and the nuance of the game and who scored and what was going on. And my kids recall that, you know, that he would relate that in detail to them. When he was coaching third base, I asked him once, what do those signs mean? He said, I can't tell you what the signs mean. I said, what do you think I'm going to do with that? Bring them to the, you know, the opposite team and, you know, sell them or something?
Yeah.
It was very funny. But he was very dedicated and very serious about his game and practice before the game and, you know, getting it right.
Mike Pfaff, president of the Ducks with Buddy, they started in 2000. He said that Buddy was bound by random acts of kindness, that he wouldn't go home and say, who did he kiss today, for lack of a better word. He would just do it. If you had to guess, how many hospitals do you think he saw in kids since you knew him?
Oh gosh! Every single year, they'd have a parade, you know, for St. Patty's Day. At Christmas time, they would go to the hospitals. So it was the Christmas time that they would go visit hospitals, and there were three or four of them in our area that had children's wards. And you know, it's so sad when you're a child and have to be in the hospital during the holidays. And so that was his favorite time, and he did that every single year. So I don't even know what that number is, Jay.
Some of his charities were Suffolk County PAL, the Make-A-Wish, and Megan's Center for Pediatric Cancer, right?
And yeah, the Morgan Center.
Morgan Center. And Mercy Haven that helps find housing for the needy in Long Island.
Yes.
So he kind of set himself really thin, right? I mean, he was going.
Yeah, he would donate memorabilia. He would do the auctions. He would play in the golf tournaments and lend his name. Actually, Mercy Haven now uses his name as the honor. It's the Bud Harrelson Man of the Year Award. And he was very dedicated to anything, especially local where we lived, you know, that helped our community in any way.
Kevin Mitchell told me a story. He was speaking about signs before. In the 86 playoff game, the game six, when Kevin scored the tie-in run, because he said that Buddy pulled him aside, you got to watch out. Stanley throws a sinker. Look out for a pass ball, a wild pitch. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And Kevin said that if it wasn't for Buddy's tip, he wouldn't have got the start to score the run.
Wow.
And he never really got any credit for that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until I read it.
You married for 36 years. Mm-hmm. You were divorced in 11 or 12, I forget.
Divorced in 13.
And what made you, really never left his side.
No, he's, you know, he was.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of unusual, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, we were best friends.
Yeah.
And that's how our marriage ended, as best friends.
Right.
And so there was nothing to get beyond or past or make up for.
Right.
We were no longer married and living in the same home, but we stayed very close. We still shared holidays together as a family. And so, you know, when Bud got sick, it was natural, to step in and help. He stayed in our marital home, and I knew how the home ran. So when it became confusing and difficult for him to do those things, it was easy for me to step in and do them. And then when we had to let go of staff during COVID, I saw how much help Bud needed, in 2020. and how much of a burden that fell on our son TJ, who was living at home with him. And I said, oh, you know, this is much more than I really knew, even though right. I was around all the time. And I knew, you know, so I moved in.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
For a year and a
half. How hard is it, with this dreaded disease? It's almost as hard on the families, right? Which going through with the people who are afflicted with disease. I mean, it's crushing almost, isn't it?
I can only speak for us and our experience. And in the beginning, I think it's so hard on the individual with the diagnosis
right.
because when they still have the awareness that they're forgetting things and they can't do things they used to do and they're being guided and told every step of the way what to do, it's very frustrating and I could see it all over Bud. But the burden of care on a family member is not something that I or any of us were prepared to do, having that role reversal to now take care of Bud as his world shrunk. And he needed more and more help. And then he was waking up at night. So it became 24 hours a day. And that's when the Alzheimer's Association.
And you're on the board of directors in Long Island.
Alzheimer's Association,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know they have to run every fall.
Yes, we have a walk. It's their biggest fundraiser nationwide to help raise money for research and program services that, you know, really help support us.
Take me back to the conversation where you told the kids what the Mets were doing. Well, you did it on a Zoom call, you
yes.
told me?
Yeah, I didn't tell a soul. I wanted everyone to hear it at the same time. Mm. And, you know, Kimberly's in California and the other four children are here, but they're scattered. So we were all on Zoom and I told them, and I have to tell you, there was complete silence at first because it was still so new. You know, Bud's passing. So it was confirmation that he's gone, you know, at first. And I think we all felt that impact. So it wasn't excitement right away, but they felt the generosity of the Mets yeah. organization in doing this. And then the wow that this is opening day and we're going to be throwing out the first
yeah.
pitch and the team is going to be wearing a patch.
Yeah.
In his honor. And so I have to say the initial telling was very subdued. You know, the gratitude was there and the enormity of it, but it was very subdued because we all felt in that moment, you know, okay, this is happening because he's gone.
You know, look at what he did, Kim. It's really amazing. He was a player, a coach, a major league manager, minor league manager, an announcer, and he worked in the club's community relations department. That's really amazing. I mean, I've been here 44 plus years, and to have somebody on a resume, I mean, you talk about Mr. Met, he was Mr. Met. I mean,
he could have done that too. He could have put on the big head.
Yeah. I mean, he did everything. I mean, you know, and after he left us, he went to Long Island to help revitalize baseball there.
Yeah.
And he's very proud of the
Cracker Jacks
Foundation.
Sure.
What did that do for the people of Long Island?
Well, like any charity, you know, they raise money and use it to help people who are local to Long Island. And Bud was so proud of bringing baseball to Long Island in such a way that it was affordable. There's no charge for parking. The tickets are affordable. The food's affordable. And he could be on the concourse shaking hands with the fans.
Right.
Every Sunday, the players lined up in chairs on the field and the fans would come down with their books to sign. And he would go up in the skyboxes and meet, you know, organizations and families and shake hands and take pictures. That was a big part of his role there.
One game I got to touch on, the famous Pete Rose, Buddy House, and battle. Game three of the playoffs, and game two, the Mets with John Matlock shut out the Reds on three hits. After the game, Buddy told the media, Matlock made the big men machine look like me. Supposedly before game three, Pete Rose took offense to the remarks, and Joe Morgan did. So when Buddy slides in at second base, and I guess what John told me, Buddy got tired of people running over him because of a slight build. And when Pete Rose ran into him, that was it. He hit all 5 foot ten of Buddy House and started a brawl.
Mm-hmm.
I know you weren't there, but he never talked about it that much with you, right?
He didn't. I read that in the paper. I didn't really know what led up to that. That was before me.
Right.
You know, Bud was married before me. And so, but we were friendly. Our family was friends with him. And so I had heard about it, and it was a big deal. But I can tell you that Bud was a very patient man, but he had a breaking point.
That Matlock said that was the breaking point.
That was the breaking point.
And that you go violence is good. That one thing really, with his teammates, got 5'10", and Pete Rose with 5'11", 210, outweighing him by 70, 80 pounds.
Yeah.
But that didn't affect Buddy. He just took him on.
Yeah. Yeah. He said enough is enough, and that was it. And, you know, he really didn't think about what the consequences would be.
And for we got to the World Series, we had 3-2 in loss.
Yeah.
But it's been a long, January to now, a lot of emotions. But, a lot of good will happen on March 28th, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we'll have an opportunity to have the light shining on us, but Bud's there.
Right.
You know, it's because of Bud, and we all know that. You know, we just carry his legacy. He did this, and we're proud and honored to be able to show up for that on that day.
It'll be nice. Well, Kim, you've been a good friend a long time. Buddy was a good friend with me.
I know, he was. Jay, he loved you.
Yeah.
At the 50th reunion in 2019, he saw you and he lit up. He took your face in his hands and gave you a kiss.
He loved my big head. Yeah. That's why we went to see him a couple with Rob Drummerhouse was to see him. I would try to make my hands.
He came with Art and Rob and
yes. We're touching. Remember the, I guess early on in the process, when Art had a catch with Buddy on the lawn,
yes.
And 69 guys have stayed tight. Unfortunately, every year we lose more. You know, that's it for us. But on a positive note, it'd be great. I know you're getting a big hand on your grandkids. You have it all lined up. Three thrown to three,
yes.
Right? But the best part, you're going to have 23 Harrelson family members in uniform to honor your husband.
Yes.
That should be really great.
Yes. Everyone's coming from California. We'll all be together.
Yeah.
And we get to share this.
Yeah. That'd be great, Kim. Thanks for your time, Kim.
Thank you, Jay, so much.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it.